this is exciting. We're filling up the front row now. Woo, woo, I'm starting. And we got boys. We're so excited to have boys. All right. So, I got my hands full. Let me put something down. What do I have in my hand?
Change.
Change. Money. Pennies. Okay. Now, would you really want two pennies? All right. I teach school. I see. Okay. I'm glad some of you would take it. Okay, you would take it, but you'd prefer something else. That's a good way to put it.
If they're wheat heads, I
would. They aren't wheat heads, sorry. Okay. All right, I teach school, and as y'all know, I see kids walk past pennies all the time. I'm like, pick it up. Enough, I'm mad up. Well, do you know there is a parable in the Bible that kind of talks about, not exactly pennies, they didn't have pennies, but let's read about this parable. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. We just took our offering, right? And watch the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. So it's kind of like passing the offering plate like we did. Many rich people threw in large amounts of money. Now, I don't know. This is not the Bible. As Justin says, this is Tammy's version. I imagine these rich people kind of going, yeah, and making sure everybody saw how much money they put in there. Now, that's Tammy's version. Okay? That's not the Bible. All right. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few coins. And I imagine, Tammy's version, okay, not the Bible, that the widow kind of took her money and just kind of put it in and didn't want anybody to see. That's it. Tammy's version. Let's get back to what the Bible says. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, the poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty, but in everything and all she had to live in." Now, why did Jesus say, basically he said she gave more than all the rich people? Henley?
Well, because she gave all she had. The other people, they only gave, like, I don't know, maybe 20% of what they had, but she gave all she had, and she said, "I'm going to give this to God instead of giving it for my own."
Christopher, these groups are hard to pull a children's sermon on. They're so smart. Yes, you're exactly right. So what Jesus is saying, even though the widow just maybe gave the two pennies, that was all she had. And that she was giving out of all she had while the others were giving just because they were supposed to. It didn't really hurt them. They still had plenty of money left. Now, I also brought a flag. Y'all are always so smart. So how do my two pennies in my parable go with the American flag? Here, Talon, you'll hold the flag and not hit anybody in the head. All right. What do you think? I'm challenging y'all because y'all usually pick our children's sermon before we say it. Yes. All right. Well, what did we recognize today?
Veterans.
So when I see a flag, or if I had poppies, I didn't find little poppies. Y'all know the little red flowers? Okay, the poppies. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't find those. I think of our veterans. And now think about it. The widow gave all she had in her two pennies, right? And Jesus was proud of her. What did some of our veterans and some of our military folks do?
They gave their lives.
They gave all, okay? Now, our veterans, hopefully, the wording of a veteran is someone who served. So hopefully they came home, but they gave up a lot. They gave up families. They may have given up jobs. They gave up a lot to serve for us. And then we have some who literally gave all that didn't make it back home, that's like the widow. So as you go through this week, we just celebrated Veterans Day. I want you to remember that God wants you to give your all, but also remember our veterans and other people who are serving in the military who are giving their all so that we can have freedom, so we can come to church, so you can go to school, so you can play basketball, so you can do all those fun swimming, do all those fun things that you like to do, okay? God loves you, and so do we.
All right. Let's stand and continue in worship. We serve an incredible God. Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape, but he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we call death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way, but he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray, but he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but him. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. You can be seated. Well, as I said earlier, we're honored to have Chris Alibaugh representing the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. And brother, you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Well, good morning. It is such a blessing to be with you today. It has been a lovely, lovely morning to join you in worship and praise our wonderful God. My name is Chris Alibaugh, and at Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina, I serve as the Eastern and West Central Regional Director, which essentially means I wear a whole bunch of different hats. My responsibilities include Kennedy Home, which is out in Kinston, in the eastern part of the state. foster care for 58 of the North Carolina counties. I get to oversee our vacation home in Emerald Isle. I get to oversee our single mothers program, an office in Lenore, some other odds and ends, and then I also get to serve as the director of Mills Home out in Thomasville. I grew up in the great state of Delaware. Any of you ever been there? You're sorry? So I may sound a little funny, but I love it. I still call it home. From there, I lived in Virginia, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, ultimately North Carolina. My career initially started in financial services after college. That led me to wilderness camping with at-risk youth. I was then a program director for a psychiatric residential treatment facility in Wilmington, North Carolina. And then I joined Baptist Children's Homes about 7 years ago. I'm also a husband. I've been married to my wife, Amy, for 12 years. She's a school guidance counselor. She's an amazing woman. We were married in Delaware. We lived in this great, great brownstone in downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. And shortly after we got married, we felt God calling us to North Carolina. We took a huge leap of faith. We left everything that we knew. We left our family. We came here with no jobs, with nowhere to live. But God was certainly faithful as we were obedient to his will. I am a father. I have three amazing sons. They're all under the age of 10. They all have red hair. Thank you. Graham is 9, Eli's 6, and Miller just turned 4. I appreciate your prayers because I have no idea what the word rest means. But most importantly, I consider myself a child of God. And years ago, Hebrews 12:1 was laid upon my heart, and it is how I attempt to live out my life and the lives of my family. Back at Mills Home and the surrounding area, there are a staff of a little over 50 who have also answered the call that God has placed on their lives. And so allow me to express their gratitude on behalf of your unwavering support of the church and other Baptists across the state of North Carolina. So a little bit about Baptist Children's Homes. I'm so glad to hear that you stuck around Tuesday night for our presentation. We were a little concerned that we were the last thing on the schedule and that people would be taking off early, but it was a great time for us. It was a great time for our kids, our families. I was there. I was on the stage. That's okay. I was hiding behind the kids who were far more important than me. So this weekend, actually, Baptist Children's Home celebrated our 138th anniversary. And during that time, we have reached out to care for God's children and God's families. Last year, you and I, as North Carolina Baptists, we touched the lives of over 167,000 people who were offered hope and refuge through the different ministries of Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. And even more important than that, and a tremendous praise, is that in the past 5 years, we have been witness to 661 professions of faith. We are located in well over 35 different communities across the state, from the mountains to the coast, and we serve all 100 North Carolina counties. That has been a learning curve for me. I said that I grew up in the great state of Delaware. In Delaware, we have 3 counties. 3. Really easy to keep track of. I can name them all. I know where they are at geographically. This whole 100 county thing, I'm still not up to speed with it. We also operate 2 children's homes and provide a medical clinic in Guatemala. And just recently, we now have a presence in South Carolina as well. Since its beginning, Baptist Children's Homes has reached out to God's children and God's families. And throughout the time, we've depended on North Carolina Baptists, people just like you, for prayer and for financial support. During all these years, you have offered hope and healing to children and families whose lives have been shattered by neglect, by abandonment, by abuse, by drugs, by alcohol, and any number of family crises. And I'm here because today we continue to depend on you for that same prayer, that same support. We depend on you to help care for children. We depend on you to help as we serve the frail aging and our residents with special needs, two single mothers, because every year hundreds find redemption at Baptist Children's Home, so thank you. Thank you for being an extension of God's love. Thank you for loving our children, our families, our mothers, to the entire community across North Carolina. So like I said, my main role is to be the director over at Mills Home. There is a lot going on at Mills Home all the time. Hundreds of people are there on a daily basis through our daycare, through our children's ministries, through our family ministries, through NC BAM. It is a busy, busy, busy place. But I like to think that we have three main ministries that we undertake. And first and foremost is our cottages for children, our residential care. So at Mills Home and other campuses across the state, we have homes where kids who otherwise have nowhere to go can come and live. And we serve boys and we serve girls, and they can live there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We have some amazing, amazing young men who live on our campus. They are some of the most resilient boys that I have ever met. They have horrible, terrible stories, but they are incredible, incredible kids. Recently, this is something that just brings me so much joy, our boys' cottage, decided to enter the city-county basketball league. And so they created a team. They were up against other kids' teams. They had a great season, and they went out and they won the county championship in basketball. Great time. We had a big party. We had some hot dogs. We had ice cream. Just celebrated that victory and that achievement. And our boys followed it up by entering the county baseball league. Great season. Boys did awesome. Lots of great hits, great fielding, and they won the county championship. And we had another big party, and we had some pizza and ice cream, and we celebrated, and it was a great, great time. And so our boys are feeling confident. They're doing well. They follow it up, and they enter the county soccer league, and they don't win a single game. We didn't have quite a big party after that. But I tell you that because I said that our boys are resilient. And if you were to drive by our boys' cottage today, you would find two soccer goals sitting in the front yard because they will not be defeated, they will not be defined, and they will press on. Amazing, amazing boys. We have one who just placed second in the science fair. We have one that is now a member of the JROTC in school. Our boys love to go fishing. We have a cottage full of girls. That is a busy, busy place. A home with up to 12 girls, ranging in age from 9 to 17. One of our girls has held down a job at a local restaurant. She saved up a good chunk of money. She's been able to get her permit. She's looking to buy a car. We have a girl who is a budding chef. And our girls love to invite people onto their front porch, sit in the rocking chairs, and just share stories. We have a cottage of pregnant teenage girls. We have a cottage of college-age students who are either in school or are working full-time and are working on their independence. The young lady that you mentioned, her name is Sierra. Sierra, who grew up at Mills Home, since the age of 10, became the valedictorian of her high school class, is now at UNC Chapel Hill, and is graduating this December. Our second major ministry that I believe that we undertake is our homes for single mothers, and we call this program Family Care. So we have homes on our campus where moms who are otherwise homeless, who are victims of domestic violence, any number of things, can come and live with their children for up to 9 months so that they can get back on their feet, so that they can secure jobs, so that they can get on a budget, so that they can finish school, and so that they can keep their children from entering the Department of Social Services, so that they get to keep their kids. Our third major ministry is foster care and adoption, and this has been our huge push over the last few years. In 2020, we set a goal, and we thought that this was this huge, lofty goal that would be hard for us to achieve. We put it on the front of Charity and Children, which is our monthly newsletter. We broadcast it out to the churches. We went out and spoke about it. We set a goal to license 100 foster families and to serve 100 kids within those homes. We have surpassed that, and we are still going because we know that God is much mightier than that. We often find ourselves in a situation, unfortunately, where we have more placements than we do willing homes. We are working extremely, extremely hard to partner with the church to fill the foster care gap in our state. We know in Mark 9, it says, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." I am thrilled to report, much like we did at the convention, that we have licensed almost 300 foster families in the state of North Carolina. And those families have served almost 800 kids in their homes. These are families in our Baptist churches that are living out the gospel. Youth who are coming into their homes are finally getting to hear about Jesus Christ and are having a chance to be a kid. However, unfortunately, we know that the work is not done. Here in North Carolina, in our state, in our backyard, there are 16,000 kids in foster care. That's just our state. That's not a countrywide number. That's not a national number. That's not a multi-state number. There are 16,000 kids in foster care in North Carolina. That's 16,000 kids who need us, who need the church, who need to hear the gospel, who need a safe place to live, who need hope and refuge. And I want to introduce you to one of those 16,000 kids now. Tyrell spent most of his young life in isolation with a family who saw him as unworthy, a family who saw him not worthy of school, not worthy of fun, not worthy of recreation, not worthy of love. However, we know that we have a God that views Tyrell not as unworthy, but as treasure. And if you would, please take a moment and watch his story.
Tyrell was 13 years old when we learned about his story.
We had tried to have children, and God did not bless us with children. And so we decided to become foster parents.
One night after church, we just went home and prayed and just gave it to the Lord and said, "Lord, if you want us to do this, would your hand be on us?" And we have seen his hand in every single step. When we first started working with Baptist Children's Home, we were very connected with Jessie Chilson. Then she brought Tyrell's case to us, and our hearts were bonded, and Jessie brought Tyrell to our home.
I'll never forget when that door opened. And he got out, and he gave us hugs, and he walked towards the house. He had no shoes on. His feet were wrapped up because he had wounds, and they gave him a walker. He walked into that door, put his walker down, and never used it again. He owned it. When he walked in this house, there was no looking back. He just walked in and became part of the house.
Tyrell's past basically has been defined by neglect.
He had the only toys. The only toys we know about was a set of blocks. yet nothing.
Every aspect of his life, we've had to train him. He didn't know emotions when he came to our home. And he was really short and small. He had really long arms. We knew he should have been much taller. In the last year and a half, he has grown and gained at least 50 pounds. Tyrell had never been to school. When his family members were asked why they didn't send him to school, they said it was because he wasn't worth the gas to take him. I cried when I heard that. As a previous teacher, I just really wanted to see him grow up and have an opportunity at life.
When he first came, his verbal skills were lacking. It was mostly pointing and saying a word.
I would work with him a little bit in the morning before I'd go to work. Then John would work with Tyrell during the day a little bit, and then I'd come back home and work with him a little bit more. My mother-in-law and I tutored him and got him to where he could start second grade. So his first year of school was doing second grade, and he has completed a whole year of second grade and has done well, and now he's doing third grade.
He's doing really well. He's really good at math and those facts, and he can memorize.
He's a
really
memorizing
well.
Beast.
We try to do a lot of activities, and he enjoys them all. My dad has a Corvette, so sometimes we'll go for a ride in that. I picked him up for school one day. I have a fishing boat, so we go fishing. He loves fishing. He loves catfish.
I got one.
Reel it in. Reel it all the way up.
I went fishing with John, and I caught first fish, and it was called bluegill. And
foster parents struggle with not getting to experience life with their children, some of the earlier life stages, and we're getting to experience all that still, and it's awesome.
Last year, we had a baseball game, and I get to throw first pitch, and it was good.
I was just excited to watch him do that, and just the opportunity and the love people were pouring on him. Tyrell is an awesome kid. I mean, he's just incredible. He's defined by happiness. He's always happy. And it's brought a lot of happiness to us. Tyrell's life direction is changed because of Baptist Children's Home. I don't think we could do this without Baptist Children's Home. The support we get is unbelievable. The training and the texts, hey, are you guys doing okay? Our original goal was foster to adopt. And the training changed our heart to go wherever God wanted us to go. And the children we have gotten, or at least Tyrell, was a foster to adopt almost immediately. And we knew God was in that. We were just like, wow.
My favorite thing in my room is this bed.
Tyrell's excited about life. The other day he came up to my wife and said, I feel like I have my life now. He is like the perfect child. He's polite, he's kind. He's got a whole life ahead of him, and the direction of it has been changed because of the people that have given to Baptist Children's Home.
And that is multiplied greatly because there are so many other children that Baptist Children's Home ministers to. It's touching so many lives, and those lives are able to be pointed to Jesus.
I see him getting saved eventually.
For God is so the love of the world that he gave his only begotten son, then whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
We need to praise God for all that he's done for us and how he's helped Tyrell, how he's put our lives together. God's worthy.
So on that last slide, you see that Tyrell was adopted into God's family, and how powerful that is. I'm also happy to report that on October 9th, Terrell was also adopted into the Stubbe family. God is actively writing and rewriting the stories of children across North Carolina through Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. And so as we come to an end this morning, I want to close with this. Matthew West, who is a contemporary Christian artist, has a wonderful, wonderful worship song, and it's entitled Do Something. I won't try to sing it, but I will read the opening part of that song that goes as follows. I woke up this morning and I saw a world full of trouble, thought, how did we ever get so far down, and how is it ever going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven and I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me, if not you, right now it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when? When will we see an end to all the pain? Oh, it's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. In James, it says that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So our call to action is this: we can all do something to stand in the gap for these children, children just like Tyrell. Perhaps for you, it's to support us financially. Perhaps it is to help us repair a building on campus. Maybe it's opening your family to foster a child just like Terrell who is in need. Perhaps it's coming to the cottage and sitting on the front porch and offering your years of wisdom to some of our kids. Maybe it's devoting a portion of your prayer time to the boys and girls who live on campus. Or, maybe most importantly, and an urgent call to action, is we are in dire need of people to come and live and serve these children. We need you. We need people to be cottage parents. We need people to be foster parents. We are receiving 4 to 5 phone calls a day of children who need placement. 4 to 5 phone calls a day. 200 to 300 phone calls a month. We need loving Christian couples to step up and stand in the gap for these North Carolina children, these 16,000 young boys and girls. I want you to imagine for just a minute, if you don't step up and do it, if the North Carolina Baptists don't step up and take care of these children, then who will? We need domestic missionaries to serve right here in your very backyard. There are girls out there that need you. There are boys out there that need you. On average, there are 100 children that sleep in a DSS office in North Carolina every single night. 100 traumatized, hurting, scared children relegated to sleeping in some stranger's office every single night. So I implore you, come join the fight of sharing hope and changing lives. If there's something that is a barrier for you personally to take up that call, you have friends, you belong to a small group or a Bible study or a prayer circle or a local civic group an accountability group. Share the need with those people. Give me a phone call. Encourage someone else to give me a phone call. Pray for the person that is considering answering that very call. Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina, through the ministry of God, is making an internal impact on children and families. Come join us. Come aid us in making that reach even broader. When you get to heaven, what a day it will be when you see a child, one young boy or girl, someone like Tyrell, who is in heaven too, because you answered the call to serve alongside of Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina and point those people towards Christ. Now, regardless of what you choose to do, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your continued and your ongoing support of what you have done and what you will continue to do. And of course, to God, all the glory. Thank you.
And let that number soak in for a minute. 16,000. Right here in North Carolina. You will not find a nobler, greater cause to support than the North Carolina Baptist Children's Homes. In my 25 years of coaching, I've seen kids . They show up to ball practice. You know something's bothering them. And some of the things that I've heard and seen, as my brother said, we can turn a blind eye to it. We can just say, yeah, somebody else will fix it. Or we can do something. We need to be in prayer for this ministry. We need to support this ministry as much as we can. Now, I've got girls on my basketball team this year that, quite frankly, I'm glad they're out there. They need to be out there. As we have this time of invitation, I just ask you to, the invitation is this. As always, if you don't know Christ, you'd like to know more about what it means to become a Christian, to become a true believer, I'd be glad to pray with you and talk with you about that. But for us as believers, I think the prayer this morning is, what can I do? Lord, here's my hands, here's my feet, what can I do? And if the Lord moves in your heart, maybe you just need to come and pray. God never calls ability, He calls availability. And He'll equip you for what He calls you to do. He'll give you the ability. He just wants us to answer the call and be available. So if you need to come and pray this morning, please do. However the Lord speaks, through His Spirit will we answer His Spirit's voice and respond in faith. Father, I pray as we have this time of invitation, we do pray for the North Carolina Baptist Children's Homes. Speak to our hearts now, and Lord, if you move in our hearts and tell us that you want us to do something, may we move, may we act and respond, and step out in faith and do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.